sugar and spice. I feel nice, like sugar and spice.
The Mel and Floyd Summer Replacement Show. I'm Mel, Floyd Design Assignment, but with us as always, the man who knows everything, Mr. Smarty Pants.
Howdy!
Hey, how you doing?
Proud to be here.
Proud as punch? Who was always proud as punch? Was that Hubert Humphrey?
Yes. No, he was pleased as punch.
Pleased as punch. That's
it. He was pleased as punch. Punch is so very pleasing.
He was the perfect Minnesota guy because he always finished second and everything.
Yeah. Home of vice presidents.
and happy about it. You know, hey, I finished second. That's not bad.
That's the best you can hope for, right?
That's exactly. Yeah. So I was out walking one of the dogs yesterday, out walking Clopsy, who's right at my feet here, actually, and walking on the Oregon Trail, and neither one of us died of dysentery, which was nice.
Cannibalism was unneeded.
That's right. The oxen didn't die, and... But we saw an eagle. We saw an eagle really, it was right by the path. It was in a tree close to the path. And it was really neat. We just stopped and, I don't know, Clopsy didn't really, wasn't that interested. But but that's the closest.
Clopsy doesn't have binocular vision. That's part of the problem. No,
Clopsy has the Sandy Duncan depth perception. he's only got the one eye. But it was really cool because that's the closest I've ever seen an eagle. And he just sat there for, I don't know, 2 or 3 minutes and then he flew away. And it was just like they're pictured all the time. He was there, just very, very dramatic looking. He had the arrows clutched in one and the olive branches in the other. And I thought that was just something they did for the pictures, but no, it's apparently a real thing. So. But it was very...
Weighing the one against the other.
Exactly. I'll go with the arrows. We always go with the arrows. But it was really neat. And I'm not a bird watcher or anything, but it was really fun to see that something like that up close in the wild.
Okay. Although I have to say that with an eagle, it's usually the bird watching you, so...
It's true.
Can I take it or not? Can I take it down? I don't know.
That dog's pretty little.
Yeah, dog could go. Anytime. Hey, we should probably thank all the wonderful people the last couple of weeks that have pledged both to the station and to the show.
Okay.
Do you have some of those people's names?
Oh, at my fingertips here? No.
Okay, never mind. Somewhere.
We will do that. Wait a minute, I do. It says updated list. Here, let's do the whole list here. This is Kelly from Portage, Sarah and Peter from Madison, Christopher Kaiserschott from Madison, Jim from Loganville, Jonathan Zarkov, Gritz from New Mexico, Tom Porter from Minnetonka. We had a couple of Minnetonka ones. That was nice.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Clark from Madison, Nick from Plain, Jim Coonan from Madison, Damien from Madison, Daniel from Moran, Michigan. Oh, Moran or Moran. Anonymous from Madison, Mindless Minion, D-Cubed. D-Cubed is the best. He's the one who does all the file management to get our show on available for podcasts.
Right,
And also I found this out too. There's little weekly summaries of the dumb stuff we talk about. And D Cube writes that up, and it's very fun. It's more fun than the show reading that. It's like, oh, that was pretty fun. So I wanted to do a little shout out there. Little Miss Can't Be Wrong from Madison.
That's
sort of your counterpart there.
I was going to say that's the that's a match made in, well, I won't say heaven, but at any rate.
And the other Minnetonka one, Ann from Minnetonka, Willie from Feicherberg. I don't know. Robin from Oregon, Brian from Janesville, Wendy from Lodi, Chris from Madison, and Anonymous from Madison. Oh, and Jane from Fredericksburg, Virginia. Wow. And Jane is a new donor. My goodness. So we had several states there. We had like five states covered there. That was pretty nice.
That was great, Mel. You took up a whole 2 minutes. That took the pressure off. I really enjoyed that.
That's the goal, isn't it?
Got anything in the mailbag you want to read? I just kind of...
We got left here. Yeah.
Did you want to read them in reverse order? That'd be good.
I'm already done. I talked about my you know, walking the dog yesterday. I mean, you know what's going to be sad is when everybody gets forced back into their cubicles in 2 or 3 months or whenever that is, and all the dogs
in
going to be so sad. I mean, people should hire me to come over and just like rub their dog's belly or something in the middle of the day.
I think dog walkers, dog psychologists, I mean, that's going to be a burgeoning field. I can predict that with almost absolute certainty.
I'm not sure if it was The Onion or some place like that had a point counterpoint, and the dogs were saying, "No, it's too early to go back to work." And the cat was saying, "Yeah, you should probably go back to work now."
I got to tell you what I've been reduced to, Mel. I was watching, honest to God, I was watching Cranky Pets online last night. And Companion was sort of, I think he thought I'd reached the nadir. But I can't get over how great it is to watch cats knock things off of mantelpieces for some reason. I get an incredible thrill seeing that.
My old cat Fang he took that to another level. He would not only knock stuff off, but he made sure I was watching when
of course.
He would like let out a little yelp or something to get my attention, and he'd go, "Hey, buddy, you like this pottery?"
Yeah. This porcelain would look great in several pieces.
And he knew it was great because he knew he'd get a reaction out of me, and I'd run over. It always be, you know, just a second too late to save the poor porcelain or whatever.
Hey, we got some news about the president of these United States this
yeah.
week. Apparently, we're now closing in on President Joe Biden's goal of injecting 100 million coronavirus vaccinations weeks ahead of the original target date.
Wow.
And as a result of that, the president announced that two things. One, they're going to have a new target date. A new vaccination target is going to be announced next week. And the other thing is they said, you know, we've got so many of these vaccinations in circulation now that we can afford to loan some out to our other neighbors in North America, Canada and Mexico. And so he announced this week that the U.S. is so far along that we can start sharing a little bit. So the details of this loan are still being worked out, but they figure that about 2.5 million doses are going to Mexico, and about 1.5 doses will go right up to Canada.
So we can share with our neighbors. You know, I've mentioned this before. I've had the second dose now. It's been about 2.5 weeks. And the only real thing I've noticed is that I've got this uncontrollable urge to buy Microsoft products. And, but I think that'll pass eventually. Hey, there's a woman in from Madison named Betty Diamond, which is a great name.
Yes.
But she was originally lived in Queens. And when she was 10 years old, she checked out a book from the Queens Public Library. And she, you know, you've probably done this. Maybe you haven't, but return books late. You ever
nope,
do that?
Never.
Are you serious? You've never done that?
Yeah. Just look up anal retentive in the dictionary.
I assume everybody.
I'll be right there. I'll be right there.
There's my picture. Yep. Well, Betty didn't return this book. It was about
Bad Betty.
It was about Paul Bunyan. Okay. It was called Old Paul the Mighty Logger. written by Glenn Rounds, in case you wanted to look it up. And so Betty forgot to return it for 63 years. Now the going fine back then was 2 cents a day back in 1957, okay. At that rate, Betty would owe $459. But of course, at a certain point, the library just figures the book is lost and they charge you the replacement amount. So Betty, who lives in Madison's Near Side, she's a playwright and director for the Madison Theater Guild at the Bartell. Okay. She decided to send a $500 donation to the Queens Public Library Foundation
in
replacement on the book. So that was very nice. And but she still had the book after all this time. And so she sent it back with the contribution. And the Library Foundation reached out and asked if she'd be willing to do interviews. And she said she would. She thought it'd be good fundraising for the library. And she got interviewed by the New York Times and a bunch of other places and a CBS affiliate in New York. Wonderful show. And so Betty's returned to Old Paul, the Mighty Logger, back to the Queen's Library with $500, and she said it was a favorite book of hers as a child. But it had a bunch of Paul Bunyan tales, and they were all like, these tall tales, like his beard was so long he combs it with a pine tree and that kind of thing. And Betty has a doctorate in English from UW-Madison and is retired from teaching literature at UW-Whitewater. And Betty said she recently reread the book, or at least some of it, and she said it just doesn't hold up anymore. She said it just didn't do it for her like it did when she was 10 years old.
So. You don't want to read books like that. Stuff like something like that when you're a kid is so precious, and you read it over and over again. I've had that experience too, and then I look at it as an adult. And I kind of disappointed because the memory of it is so much richer and more inspiring when you actually, when you actually read it. But you know what that library should have done if they'd been smart? They should have adjusted that fee for inflation. That 2 cents in 1957, that's probably about $8 now, you know what I say? Probably.
We spit on your $500, baby.
Yeah, really.
Taking your house.
Hey, you may have heard this week that it turns out that that there really was a plot afoot in 2020, just as there was back in 2016, to undermine the Democratic candidate for the presidency. Turned out this time it was less successful, but the intelligence community knew this all along, and if you've been following the news, you'd notice that this week they actually released some of that information. Why wasn't that information released earlier? There's a very good reason why. Because, of course, the Trump administration didn't want it released. So basically now we're getting the picture of what President Putin and some of his friends were trying to do, a picture that we couldn't have gotten during the election or before it, because, of course, the person who's in charge of getting those intelligence reports out to the public had a vested interest in making sure they didn't go anywhere. Wow. Also this week, apparently... The president of these United States was asked in an interview that he had on ABC News whether he thought that President Vladimir Putin, the guy that was trying to stop him from getting elected, whether he thought that Putin was a killer, pardon me. And Mr. Biden responded, "Uh-huh, I do."
That's pretty good.
He didn't volunteer, but he wasn't going to lie about it.
Well, I mean, he was in the KGB for a long time, so I think that kind of goes with the territory, doesn't it?
Yeah. They withdrew their ambassador, of course, as a sign of protest. But when the White House press secretary, Jen Psaki, was asked about this, she said, whatever. asked if the president regretted his undiplomatic characterization of Putin, she said, nope. The president gave a direct answer to a direct question. Now, isn't that an amazing concept?
That is so refreshing. I was just thinking in my head that with the previous guy, if something like that had happened, I mean, he'd never say anything bad about Putin, but if something like that came out, they would deny he ever said it. And even if there was, you know, audio and video of it and millions of people saw it live, they'd say, no, he never said that. That's not
true.
It
was on stone tablets, you know. This is Times Square. They would have said no. That's not what happened.
I'm not sure this is encouraging news. Biologists have found 4 new types of bacterial strains in surface samples collected from the International Space Station. Stuff that we've never seen before. NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory spokesperson, analyzed samples collected during the Microbial Tracking 1 flight experiments in 2015 and 2016. And he said, as part of an ongoing microbial tracking experiment on the ISS, 8 locations are being monitored for bacterial growths and have been for the last 6 years. These samples include where the crew assembles or where experiments are conducted, such as the plant growth chamber. But they found 4 new types that they hadn't seen before. So,
you know what I blame?
Aliens?
The zero gravity toilet.
Oh. That's probably true. That was one of the big problems for NASA. I mean, it sounds silly, but they had to put a lot of effort and a lot of time into figuring out how that was going to work with no gravity.
Organic life is incredibly sloppy. I mean, talk about entropy. I mean, you're constantly putting things in your pie hole and they're coming out your other hole. I mean, it's just like, you know, and then there's just the ratio is ridiculous. I mean, we don't use enough of what we eat for energy. I mean, it's a crazy system. I say send the robots up. Send the darn robots up.
Yeah, send the robots up. So they're going to be smarter than us. Well, they probably all are already, but they certainly will be in before too long.
They won't need toilets.
And they're a lot cleaner. Yeah. Well, and they don't need stuff like air and water and food. You know, I mean, they can, those little robots on Mars are going to clunk around for 10, 15 years.
And they don't need a pat on the back or a good performance review or anything like that.
They don't get lonely.
No, they're perfect.
You know, the robot, once in a while the robots go crazy, but, you know, then and they kill everybody, but, you know.
That's just part of the deal. That's, you know, that's the upside.
Kill all humans. I mean, right there in the code.
Hey, the Senate confirmed 2 more of President Biden's picks for top offices. They confirmed on Thursday, just yesterday, the former California Attorney General Xavier Becerra to be the Health and Human Services Secretary. They've been holding out on that. And actually, the vote was ridiculous. It was completely on a party line. It was 50-49. And as a result, Mr. Becerra is the first Latino to head the Department of Health and Human Services. And it's a pretty big department. It's got a $1.4 trillion annual budget. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the Republicans didn't like him because, of course, he takes the fight against the conservative mentality right to their faces. And originally, Senator Ted Cruz, R of Texas, and
R of Cancun.
Yeah, reactionary of Texas. He had a hold on the nomination, which wasn't even allowed to be voted for. By the way, there's also here in Wisconsin, our fine Wisconsin Senate is oozing towards Bethlehem. No, oozing towards actually confirming some of the department heads that Tony Evers has appointed, and one of them is actually a friend of mine. The Department of Safety and Professional Services Secretary Dawn Krim is finally going to get a vote, even though she's was appointed 2 years ago. Melissa Hughes, the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation Secretary, and Amy Pachesik, who is the Secretary of Workforce Development, are all scheduled to come before, finally, a Senate committee next Wednesday.
Wow.
Just like clockwork. It's like Henry Ford would be encouraged by this assembly line production.
Every 2 years, we'll appoint somebody.
P-hat check, I've been told, is how you
pronounce it. P-hat check. Yeah.
It needs one of those little divots in there for the C. That's as they do.
I got your diphthong right here.
I got your diphthong right here. But do you have my diacritical mark? That's what I want to know.
Oh, I'd never touch that.
You better not. But I mean, this is we see this over and over again that they practice things sometimes in Wisconsin, sometimes in other states, and then they make it into a national policy. I mean, when Evers was elected, they didn't want to confirm anybody because they didn't want to admit that he actually won the election, that he was a legitimate governor. And they're doing the same thing with Biden. I mean, they're dragging their feet on everything. I mean, it used to be pretty routine to approve cabinet people, unless there was somebody who was just you know, really horrible at that. But now it's like, you know, as you said, it was on a party line vote to approve. And then it's just ridiculous that these people are qualified. You know, you might not agree with them, but these are the people that the elected president is going to appoint. He's not going to appoint somebody that's, you know, totally against his policies and principles.
Well, to be fair, of course, the Trump administration had a lot of vacancies. But that was primarily because they couldn't find enough nutballs to fill all those all those jobs.
Well, they kept going to jail, too.
Yeah, right.
but it's this whole pattern of those people are not legitimate. And this isn't new. I mean, we saw this with Bill Clinton, where they said, he's not my president. And with Obama, with the birther garbage and those types of things. And it's like, it's just this constant. They're not real because they won. And we're the only real ones. And we're the only real Americans.
The only Echtdeutsch. Only true Germans. Yes.
Hey, they've got some new fragments of the Dead Sea Scroll. They were found cave in the Judea Desert. The cave is below a clifftop. And
Cave of Wonders, as I recall.
Is that what it is?
No, it's the Cave of Horrors, actually.
Cave of the Mounds, I think it was. It's the researcher there said, it's definitely an exciting moment as we present and reveal to the public an important and significant piece of the history and culture of the land of Israel. Now new finds and evidence have been discovered and unearthed that shed even more light on the different periods and cultures of the regions. The archaeologists were able to identify 11 lines of Zechariah 8:16 through 17.
Yep. One of them included the name of God, which it turns out is Bob, interestingly enough. Who would have guessed?
Is it really?
These Dead Sea Scrolls, they're just the gift that keeps on giving. What can you say?
Yeah. There's something about Ovaltine in there, too. And I'm deciphering that one.
What I've always said about the Bible is, you know, if Jesus had just said two things, I would be a Christian today, right? I mean, one thing would be boil your water.
Right.
And the other thing was, well, maybe three things would seal it. The second thing would be, by the way, the earth goes around the sun. And the third thing would be, everything's made up of little tiny things, little itty bitties. Those three things, now those are prophecies. No one would have known that. That would have been like, boil your water. Why? Well, because things are living in it you can't see. You know what I mean? That would be an insight that would really be helpful. Yeah. Think about how different the history of humanity had been if Jesus wasn't just healing people, but he tried to do, I don't know, a little like forward kind of thing, you know, like, okay, education. Boil your water, you know?
Yeah.
How many people would have survived?
But we'd be overpopulated now.
And we're not already?
Well, yeah.
When somebody says they're giving me a prophecy, I don't want some kind of like, be nice to each other. I know that. I want something that like no one could figure out. And then suddenly one day they're all like, oh my Lord, they turned out to be right.
Like don't wear white after Memorial Day.
Yeah. Oh, Leviticus is just filled with that stuff.
That's true.
Make sure your socks match. That's what the Lord is worried about.
But the Greeks had a concept of atoms. I mean, it wasn't exactly what, you know, so that wasn't real new at that point. I mean,
no, but it would have been new if the big guy had said, yeah, that's exactly it. Wait a wait a couple thousand years and you'll see I'm right about this.
Also, there's like three continents you don't know about.
Yeah, exactly.
They're really big full of people and lots of stuff going on there.
And let me remind you, they're full of people. That would have been another good one to say. They're full of people and be nice to them.
Yeah. No genocide.
Yeah.
No blankets with smallpox. Hey, people who walk slowly may be nearly four times more likely to die from COVID-19, according to a new study. Researchers concluded slow walkers with a normal weight were 3.75 times more likely to die from the virus than brisk walkers. The project used data collected from more than 400,000 middle-aged people. They said self-reported walking pace could be used to predict whether someone was at higher risk from the virus. The study run by the National Institute for Health Research Biomedical Research Center was designed to explore links between body mass index and self-reported walking pace with the risk of contracting severe COVID-19 and mortality. Slow walking was considered to be a speed of less than 3 miles per hour. Researchers found that slow walkers were 2.5 times more likely to develop severe COVID-19 than those in the fastest bracket. So you can actually outrun COVID, I think, is the the takeaway.
How about if you skip? Skipping allowed? Can that do that?
I think if you move like serpentine too, it makes it harder for it to get you.
Don't exactly.
Don't be a sitting duck there. It'd be a tough target. So there it is. Walk fast and
carry a big stick.
You're safe. You're safe. And carry a big stick.
Not for anything related to COVID, just general, general.
No, you need a big stick nowadays.
Hey, did you hear about the story from Florida? There was an arrest down in Florida. The Florida Department of Law Enforcement got a report in November, early November, about vote tampering down in good old Florida, and it turns out that someone had gained access to electronic accounts without authorization, and it was 117 votes had been suspiciously cast in an election for homecoming queen.
Oh, no.
at J.M. Tate High School. That's right. Department agents arrested Laura Carroll, 50, a dangerous age, and her daughter Emily Grover, 17, just this week on charges of a conspiracy to use Ms. Carroll's school district login to help her daughter become homecoming queen. They did a 5-month investigation on this, Mel, and they found that Laura Carroll, was an assistant principal at Bellevue Elementary School near Pensacola, and she used her account to access the internal accounts of 372 Tate High School students. And so she switched a few votes around.
And was immediately hired by the Republican National Committee.
Exactly. Exactly. Emily, by the way, knew that her mother was doing this because it would show she would get pinged every time her mother did this. So she was in on the whole deal. And by the way, she's up for the Richard Nixon
flying
award for flying there. Pickle finger of fate. Sock it to me. And but I suspect she'll probably cheat to get that as well. So we'll see.
That's actually more voter fraud than the GOP anywhere in the whole country combined.
Yes exactly.
Dozens of people in Taiwan have changed their name to Salmon to take advantage of a restaurant's sushi promotion deal. Officials have issued a plea asking people to stop visiting government offices to request the name change. The restaurant offered an all-you-can-eat sushi meal to anyone with the name Gu Yi or Salmon on their ID card. Unimpressed government officials said the rush was wasting government time. The offer began on Tuesday when the sushi restaurant said anyone with the Chinese characters in their name could get free food for themselves and five friends. It led to dozens of people requesting a name change. According to the newspaper, one student said she had changed her name to Kuo Salmon Rice Bowl, but planned to change it back the next day.
Huh.
Two others managed to eat around $500 worth of sushi in one go.
I can do that.
It's like four rolls, isn't it?
Yeah.
And they posted, "I do not think we want to eat salmon again for a while." The deputy interior minister said that name changing was wasting time and creating unnecessary paperwork. "I hope everyone can be more rational about it," he added.
Because that's what people are like.
That's,
so is this guy like the undersecretary of the name changing department or something?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Officials issued a reminder that names can only be changed legally three times. So if you change your name to Salmon and then change it back, you've used up two of your wishes there. So you got to be careful.
And you can't use your third one for infinite number of name changes, right?
Yeah, I want more name changes. No, that just so. Hey, you're listening to WRT 89.9 on the FM. You might be listening on the internet at WRTFM.org. You could be listening on our new app. We've got a new app that's a week or two old, and so download that. It makes your listening pleasure a lot more extreme when you're just with your phone. It'll make the show a lot better, let me tell you.
Are we offering the listeners extreme pleasure now, Mel?
We are with your app. Got to have the app.
I get it. Okay.
But check it out. It's something worth putting on your phone.
There's a special Huber sweetener on there that will really make this show a lot better.
A Huber sweetener?
Humor.
A Huber sweetener. I thought it dispensed Huber beer. a nice feature of the app.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned earlier, this show is available on podcasts through Spotify and iTunes and other places, thanks to Mindless Minion D-Cubed, and wherever you get your podcast. I prefer to get my podcast the old-fashioned way. I go down and buy them on the street from a stranger. Maybe go into a CD bar and you know, hit somebody up there. They always ask me if I'm a cop, and they say, "You got to tell me if you're a cop." Anyway, Gladys, I assume we have some announcements.
You know what they say about assuming.
It makes you very smart.
Indeed.
That's the saying, so. Would we like to play some announcements?
Is that the royal we?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, we would love to do that.
Yeah. It's the institutional we.
All right, we'll be right back. Pants, do you have anything?
What is Michelle Obama up to these days? Turns out it's something cool.
Okay.
And don't forget New Orleans, a whole bunch of blues. Oh, yeah. Night train.
And we're back. Dancing like a white guy there. Very, very exciting.
The only way I can.
Hey, I grew up in Minnesota. It was painful watching people go out and try to dance there. That was really something.
It's kind of a conflict though, because you know I also have my alternate lifestyle component of my life.
That's true, yeah.
But that doesn't seem to have affected the basic white guy part. So
yeah, no,
I don't feel any more agile or rhythmic than anybody else.
You're in the nerd branch of the team.
I am. I'm in the subspecies nerd. Yes, exactly. Yeah, so. that one dictates everything else.
Yeah. I see that the station is hiring a volunteer coordinator. Maybe I'll apply for that. I'm a people person. I got time on my hands. So.
Hey, Mel, I wanted to ask you a question, and I might as well ask it of you now. So I'm making plans to do something in the fall that may involve the show, and I want to make sure that everyone feels okay about this before I propose it to anyone. I'm going to be teaching a class, believe it or not, on humor at the institution where I work, and I would really love to be able to bring some of the students down to WRT and possibly have some of them on the air. I'm going to ask them to one of their things to write some little skits maybe to do on the show and introduce them to the volunteer coordinator and maybe get some people involved a little bit in the studio and in the station. What do you feel about that?
I'm fine with that as long as we're letting humans back in the studio at that time. But Gladys, you look like you have something to say.
No, I'm enthused to meet the kiddos. That sounds great.
Well, first thing we do is we don't call them kiddos.
No, I thought that was rule number one.
Yeah.
Along with, I found a quarter in your ear.
Got your nose.
Just remember, my name's Joey Nickel, just like Joey 5 cents. I had an uncle like that, Uncle Fat, and his thing was, that's literally what we called him, Uncle Fat. And he was very, yeah. And his big thing was, you remember there used to be a hair product called Dippity Doo?
Oh, yeah.
It was this like gel. It was an old gel that you would put in your hair. And his thing was Dippity Doo to you too. He'd always say that to us when we were kids. And that was like his signature tagline, you know.
So he didn't go
Uncle
with.
Fat's going to say it again. What's that?
He didn't go with a nair stare at you too.
But he was branding back before anybody
else. No. He looked a lot like Uncle Fester, except he didn't dress as well. But I had so many uncles. I had Uncle Fat. I had Uncle Clyde, who had busted his nose when he was in the Navy. And he looked a little bit like those gibbons or whatever they are with the giant bulbous noses. That's what he looked like. He would kind of flop around when he talked to you. Uncle Clyde, he was kind of a character too. Uncle Vardy used to talk to God in the front yard. He would look up in the sky. And the story about Uncle Vardy was he was singing in church one time and he had his mouth open really wide and a fly flew in. And the rumor went around that just showed what a great man Uncle Vardy was because he always was letting strangers in from the cold. I had an Uncle Earl. That was another. I had a whole passel of them.
Just
I had a lot
name?
Of uncles. Yeah, yeah. I don't even remember what Uncle Fat's name was. His actual name. Norman or something. I don't know.
I had an Uncle Arvid, I think. That was the kind
Arvid,
of,
that sounds very Minnesota.
That's a good name for an uncle.
Hey, Michelle Obama. She's doing something cool. I know you won't be surprised by that. She's launching a nonprofit campaign that aims to provide more than 1 million meals to food insecure families. And she did a debut just this week. Of her children's food show on Netflix. And it's called Pass the Love with Waffles and Mochi. And it's named after this new series that she's got. And it's a collaborative campaign for the nonprofit Partnership for Healthier America. And she's the honorary chair. And so the nonprofit says the campaign was inspired by this series, which tells the story of two puppet friends who travel the world exploring the wonders of food and culture. That sounds like us, two puppet friends. That's really that's really what we are.
Putin has a similar show, but the puppets.
Yeah. That's right.
And he gets no food.
Yeah, right. And now my two puppet friends.
No, it's more like Kukla, Fran, and Ollie beat the head with a stick.
Yeah.
So, speaking of Donald Trump, there's a wax figure of Donald Trump in San Antonio, Texas, at Toussaint's Waxworks. I'm not sure if you say that right, if I said that right, but they had to pull it from the display because people kept punching it.
I thought you were talking about how there was now a terrible wax shortage as a result of making this thing.
It's got deep gouges in the patrons who clawed and punched it.
the most amazing thing to me about the Republicans' false belief. I know they don't really believe it, but I mean, this false narrative about him, you know, winning the election. The guy never got above like 45% in approval, and he lost the popular vote the first time. How right. could he possibly? I mean, just the odds are that no, there aren't enough people that like him for him to win again.
And the people who dislike him really, really, really dislike him.
Yes, they punch graven images of him. So yeah. Others apparently celebrate them, like that thing that they had at the National
the Golden Calf.
Yeah, the Golden Calf. They were all dancing around.
That was the best. It really did.
Yeah. Talk about self-parody. Here's a couple of encouraging stories from abroad. One is from the United Kingdom. Uber has been, as you know, successfully deploying its armies of lawyers and lobbyists for years, trying to reclassify drivers, have drivers classified as basically independent agents rather than employees. But on Tuesday, Uber was basically had to acquiesce in the British government's desire that that their drivers be counted as workers. So and on Tuesday of this week, Uber said that more than 70,000 Uber drivers in Britain will now be considered workers for the company, who will receive minimum wage, vacation pay, and access to a pension plan. And this comes in response to a decision by the British Supreme Court just last month that said that Uber drivers are, in fact, employees of this company. Also, in there's good news, bad news on this one. From Melbourne, Australia, it's been revealed that Facebook is now having to pay for content in Australia. This is a month after the social media platform temporarily blocked news links inside the country over legislation which was pressing them to compensate publishers. So that's the good news. The bad news is the first company that's going to get the money is Rupert Murdoch's News Corporation.
Aww.
A little bit of good news, a little bit of bad news there. So, in a statement on Tuesday, a top news executive said that the agreement with Facebook was a landmark, which would have material and meaningful impact on Australian news businesses.
This out of Nashville, Tennessee, less than 2 weeks after the Historical Commission voted to remove the bust of Nathan Bedford Forrest from the state capitol, state senators are trying to vote to remove all members of the commission.
So. Where was this again, Mel?
Nashville, Tennessee.
Oh, Nashville, okay.
Senator Joey Hensley, a Republican, sponsored the bill. It would replace all members of the 29-person commission with 12 new members. Currently, 24 of the commissioners are appointed by the governor. Senator Hensley's bill would reduce the total number to 12, as I said. The governor, lieutenant governor, and state speaker of the House would each choose 4 members. While not specifically mentioning the bust of Nathan Bedford Forrest, members made references to decisions the Historical Commission has recently made. The commission voted to remove Forrest's bust from the Capitol building on March 8th, so a couple weeks ago. Forrest is a controversial figure in the state's history. And
he was the first Grand Wizard, yeah.
Right. I mean, here are the controversial things. He was a slave trader, Confederate war general, and one of the first leaders of the KKK. I can see where that's, you know, that both sides can look at that and draw their own conclusions.
He was their first Grand Wizard, the first person to have that title.
Yeah.
Yep.
His image displayed prominently outside both houses of the legislature has been the center of many protests through the years. Another Republican, Mike Bell, said he wouldn't support the bill because it's improper to change the rules when the commission makes a decision some lawmakers don't like. Oh, my goodness. That's the process we created for removing a monument. Every time we get a decision about a monument or a statue we don't like, then we want to come back and change it again. We want to put it in our hands, and let's just do a bill and do away with it completely and let the legislature vote on it. So what could go wrong with that?
By the way, he towards the end of his life, I don't know if you know this, but he insisted that he had never been a member of the KKK. I was like, what? You were the first Grand Wizard. What do you mean? Oh, that was some guy that looked just like me. I didn't know what he said, but he apparently insisted, no, I was never really into it. You know, that's lies that my enemies tell about me.
That's what we were talking about earlier, like the gaslighting, you know. Don't ever admit anything. Hey, Disney has opened plans to reopen its two theme parks in California next month, but there are some new rules that related to the pandemic.
Is the statue of Nathan Bedford Forrest still going to be there?
No, but they did have a ride for it with it named after him. Nathan Bedford Forrest ride. Yeah. No, they're going to limit attendance, require masks for those age 2 and above, and have temperature screenings at some locations, and an industry trade group is advised against potentially risky activities like screaming on rides. So they're going to ask you to ride their rides and not scream.
Sounds like that's going to work really well.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Wow. So you mentioned you'd had your second vaccination. And I'm going to have mine. Which product did you get vaccinated with? Was it Moderna or?
What did they get? I think I got the Shopko brand. I don't know. No, it was Moderna.
Now with more bleach.
They just shined a UV light on me.
Yeah, right.
That was good.
Well, I'm getting my second Moderna shot at Walgreens on, it must be like the 6th, I think, of April. So, So that's kind of fun. That's nice.
Good.
As an educator, I did get up there in the line. So that was pleasant.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause the children, they're our future. The kiddos, they're our future.
Yeah. As some might say.
They need your leadership. So. The only real, I mean, I had a little bit of a reaction. It kind of knocked me on my butt for about a day. But the main thing was I couldn't sleep that night. I was really wired. I felt like I just drank about 10 Red Bulls or something. Seriously, I was just wide awake until about 3:30 in the morning. And it was just really uncomfortable.
Oh. Yeah, I have a coworker who had really negative reactions to the second shot. But he said it only lasted about 24 hours.
And then it
dissipated. So
it was weird. When I woke up the next day, it was like one of those stupid commercials where you wake up and like the guy wakes up and they're like dancing and they're so happy.
I assume you do that every morning, Mel.
You know, and the little cartoon birds were landing.
They're helping put your clothes on for you.
Exactly. Yeah. So wait it out if you have a reaction. They say it's good if you have a reaction. It means your immune system is actually working. So.
Okay. Good to know.
Yeah. Hey, Britain has a new bill that would increase the maximum sentence for defacing a memorial from 3 months. And increase that a little bit from 3 months to 10 years.
Wow.
So they don't like the defacing the memorial type protest. So maybe Nathan Bedford Forrest should move to Great Britain. And be a little safer there.
Hey, Mel, did you hear that on Wednesday, the House of Representatives passed a bill that could clear the way for the Equal Rights Amendment to be added to the Constitution? And what they did was...
I missed that.
Several states have gone ahead. There were supposed to be 38 states that needed to ratify it. And as you remember, it kind of petered out. Right. But last year, Nevada and Illinois actually voted to ratify the Equal Rights Amendment. And Virginia became the 38th state to ratify it. And so they've got the number that they need now. The question is, there was a deadline. So can it be the case? And it's very unusual, actually, for amendments to have deadlines for ratification. In fact, there was one that was proposed in the original package that James Madison had put together that got ratified like in the 20th century. It was the one about
Oh, really?
I don't know if you remember that. It's the one about Congress people not being able to raise their own salary during their term of office.
Oh, right, right.
That was in a package, I think, of 15 that got whittled down to 10 in terms of their ratifications. And so there was no time limit on many of these, but there was on this. And so Congress is considering the idea of rescinding the time limitation, the deadline, and saying, look, there's 38 states that have done this. And so we should just go ahead and assume that means the Equal Rights Amendment should be part of the Constitution. So we'll see what happens when it gets to the ever-loving Senate, but at least the House has passed this rescission of the deadline.
I just want to remind people of the controversial nature of the wording of this. It says, equality of rights under the law shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of sex.
Yeah, it's pretty damn crazy.
That's it.
That's it.
Yeah, there's a couple sentences after that about how to admit, you know, that Congress will do this and it'll be within 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, but as far as the actual amendment, it's that one sentence that.
Well, see, that's the problem, Mel. Goodness knows where that could lead. It's not specific enough.
Oh.
Are you equal on a boat? Are you equal in a moat? Are you equal on a train? Are you equal in the rain?
Don't start with the Dr. Seuss. Hey, Nebraska has declared a pro-meat day. And in response to Colorado,
every day was pro meat day,
having a meatless day.
Yeah.
Nebraska Governor Pete Ricketts is railing against a proclamation by the governor of Colorado that encourages people to avoid meat for one day a week, calling it a direct attack on our way of life, and signing a pro meat declaration of his own.
Good Lord, go to McDonald's. Every day is pro meat day in this crazy country of ours. Ricketts eat it like it's candy.
Ricketts surrounded himself with top officials from Nebraska's meat, agriculture, and restaurant industries on Monday as he declared tomorrow, Saturday, Meat on the Menu Day in Nebraska. The day was chosen to coincide with Colorado's Meat Out Day, a non-binding proclamation signed by the governor late last month and backed by an animal rights group. Meat Out Day was started in 1985 by the Farm Animal Rights Movement and seeks to encourage non-vegetarians to consider a plant-based diet.
Well, let's think about it from the point of view of global warming. Let's think about it from the point of view of deforestation. Let's think about it from the point of view of health. Let's think about, I mean, it doesn't, you don't even have to think about it from the point of view of animal rights. I mean, there's just so many things that converge. Just have less meat, you know.
Like, right.
Again,
right. Yeah.
Don't treat it like candy. That would be nice. By the way, don't treat candy like candy either.
Yeah, that's true. And I know America, you know, is the best at everything, but other cultures don't eat as much meat, and they have very, very tasty food.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can use a little bit. I mean, sometimes, or you know, I mean, or none. But you don't need like 8 pounds of it to make a meal.
Yeah, but if you want to really swell up like a poisonous toad, you have to eat a lot of meat. And that is our goal. So,
or poisonous toads.
More poisonous toads.
On a related note, feeding seaweed to cows is a viable long-term method to reduce the emission of planet-heating gases from their burps and flatulence, according to scientists. Researchers who put a small amount of seaweed into the feed of cattle over the course of 5 months found that the new diet caused the bovines to belch out 82% less methane. The finding builds on previous research that showed that seaweed could reduce cows' methane output over a shorter time span. We now have sound evidence that seaweed in cattle diet is effective at reducing greenhouse gases, and the efficacy does not diminish over time.
Just don't tell Companion, or I'll be getting seaweed at every meal.
Well, I mean, I after reading this, I endorse, you know, feeding seaweed to cows, but aren't the cows going to drown when they try to I don't think they're very good swimmers. So.
Yeah, it's hard to graze underwater. It really is.
It is. And you know, the battles will be between the beef ranchers and the fisher people now. So.
Yeah.
Instead of the cat or the sheep herders.
Hey, on Wednesday, a Japanese court ruled that the country's failure to recognize same-sex marriages was unconstitutional. And many people think that this is going to be an important step towards legalizing same-sex unions in the nation of Japan. The ruling was handed down by a district court in the northern city of Sapporo, and it came in a civil suit against the Japanese government that three same-sex couples filed. They said the lack of recognition of their unions had unfairly cut them off from services and benefits. And they sought damages, about $9,000 per person, $9,000. And the couples argued that the government's failure to recognize same-sex unions violated the constitutional guarantees of equality in the nation's governance document. And there's also laws against discrimination regardless of sex.
Hmm.
So the court agreed and said that that denying gay couples the legal benefits of marriage constituted discriminatory treatment without a rational basis.
Wow. But, you know, to quote a Wisconsin legislator, when we had that that debate here, what if people start marrying lawnmowers?
If you could be in loving union with a lawnmower, I'd say go for it.
Yeah, just be careful. Hey, anything to declare?
I believe I will declare the weekend.
It's like you're going through customs.
Yes.
It's the weekend. It should be a nice one. It looks like it's going to be beautiful. So it's nice.
Spring has sprung. Here.
Get out and look for eagles. That's what
frolic.
I'm doing. So, yeah. Do the little Sound of Music thing in the field. You know, spin around. Hey, stick around. The kiosk is next. After that, Who Cooks for You with the other Mr. S and the Real Jaguar. Then Amy Goodman, Democracy Now!, Labor Radio, Blues, Blues Cruise, Friday on My Mind. All kinds of great stuff here on your favorite radio station, WORT. You are listening to WORT 89.9 FM, Madison. Pants, it's good to see you. Have a great week. Gladys, thanks for engineering. Always good
thanks,
to see
Gladys.
You, too. Have a great weekend. Bye.